Jesus, you know, was made spirit. The first man, Adam, a living soul. The second man, Adam, a quickening spirit. And so then, the spirit that came forth in the new blood cell, it became a human body that was spirit. And so then that body was a quickening spirit. And later it proved out to be, when everybody saw it, as it resurrected from the dead. And they found out that even death could not have any power over it. And of course, this is what the Lord is trying to do to your body and do to my body. He's trying to bring us to the revelation of the Son of God, to where we can be a quickening spirit. Take us from a living soul to a quickening spirit. This is the whole plan of salvation and what God has wrought for us through the act of Calvary. So then, that Lord Jesus that became the mighty quickening spirit, he became the mighty spiritual Word. The beginning was the Word was God, the Word came forth, and Mary conceived of the Word, and the Word brought forth a child as the seed of God. And today, we know him as the Spirit Word, or the Word that was made flesh, or the Word that Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, even the mighty Holy Ghost. And so then when Jesus died, he died for one purpose, that was to atone for our sins, and with that, to rend the veil so that this great, wonderful, mighty Spirit Word, that the Spirit of the Word, might step forth out of the Word, the body of the Word, and that it might present itself as the mighty Christ or the mighty Holy Ghost. And you know, it's a strange thing, but this wonderful Spirit of Christ that came forth, he had to have another body after that the Lord departed. He had to have another body in this world. And so then he picked a man by the name of Paul of the Apostle, and he processed Paul being blameless concerning the law like Jesus was. Then the Lord picked Paul being learned in all the ways of the Jewish people. The Lord picked him, and Paul said, "It is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and that God from my mother's womb has chosen me to reveal Christ in my life." And so then we see the great wonderfulness of God, that when the God of heaven did this, that he laid the foundation of the apostolic leaders, whereas Paul said, "And I have laid the foundation, and you're going to build on it, and let every man take heed how that he build thereupon, for the day shall try his works." And this means that Paul, being the great Christ down through the church ages, gave us this wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. He was caught up into the third heaven, saw the finishing of the product, and saw the place of our long-awaited home, and then overseered the building of the walls from that great high place of observation. Then he came down, and through a breakdown of a seven-dimensional projection, God took Paul and brought forth the seven church age messengers in breaking down Paul's ministry as the Christ ministry. And then we find over in the end of it that Paul, or Jesus it is, standing in the midst of the candlesticks, here the door is open in heaven for the translation of the church. So it is a beautiful thing that God has done for us. All of this he has brought to light immortality. For as I said, he took the Spirit of Christ to make him a human body, and to tabernacle in this body in its fullness, that this body might become a spiritual body and be restored to its originality of what Adam was in the beginning through an illumination. The only difference is that Adam was made a living soul, and being spotless and blameless, he could have the illumination of the very presence of the Shekinah of God. Having sinned against God, he lost that right, because God cannot fellowship iniquity. And the day that he lost it, then death set in. For it is said, "The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die," speaking of the tree of knowledge. Therefore, the sentence of death is within the body because of what Adam did there in the garden through the weakness of Eve. And so then there were termed as being naked. The Shekinah had departed. They were not naked, but then when the beast told Eve that she was naked, then the Shekinah had departed. It was said to her, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" And it was obvious that he had told her that she was naked when he beguiled her. And so then we find that the nakedness was that the Shekinah covering of God's glory had departed. Whereas he said, "You cover with a covering, but not of me." And today there is a covering, but it's not of God. It is that of Satan, of the powers of iniquity, and the worldly inspiration of the glory of the world. For there is a glory of the world, as well as there is a glory of God. Everything differs in glory. And so then, today, we have been born again. We have the restoration of this lost glory, or this missing glory. And today, we're not illuminated only with this glory, but we are inbred with this glory. We're born to this glory on the inside. The world is getting the benefit of this glory, in that the glory of God is to the Spirit of Christ is poured out upon all flesh, and they're getting the benefit of this at this time. But when God takes the blood off of the seat of atonement, then it won't be like that. Remember, Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. And having died to take away the sins of the world, then that means there is no more sin even to the world. For the Bible should reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. And since the world gets this benefit, it's just the temporal moment of time through the church ages. But here we are with the wonderful eternal glory of God. And the Bible says he will not give his glory to another, but in that we are not another, and we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, he hath given us his glory. Jesus said, "Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was." And therefore, when God slew the Lamb before the world ever was by foreknowledge, he gave the Lord Jesus Christ his glory, and allowed him in the later years to come and rend that veil and show us that he was the Lamb slain for us from the foundation of the world, and the blood was put on the mercy seat, that we might have this wonderful illumination today. We have the glory of God upon us, but we also have God in us. For the Bible said he is in you, he is through you, and he is above you. So then we see this wonderful glory of God, and we know that we pass from death unto life because we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You know, if you are dead unto sin, then how can you live therein any longer? If you are dead unto sin, how then shall sin have dominion over you? The Bible said not to let sin reign in your body, not for a moment. Sin hath no power over you, then death hath no power over you, because sin is the sting of death. And where there's no law, there is no transgression. And if there's no transgression, there is no sin, because sin is the transgression of the law. And where there is no sin, there is no death, for sin is the sting of death. And where there's no death, then that means you're not under the bondage of the curse anymore. The curse is gone and you're free from the curse, and you are now a new creature, old things having passed away and no more remembrance of former things. And you're not in bondage anymore to the beggarly elements of the world. For God heard the prisoners, and in a day accepted, he succored them. He looked down from heaven and broke the appointment with death. For the Bible said God heard the groaning of the prisoners, looked down from heaven and loosed them that was appointed unto death. So today, you that are born again, you do not have an appointment with death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But you do not have an appointment with death, because God broke the appointment with death, and the appointment holds you no longer. You pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. Until then, it is a beautiful thing to realize that God has freed us from death, and now we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto the law and unto sin. If we're dead to the law, then are we dead to sin? And if we're dead to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? For as it is stated in the book of John's writing, he said, "And he that is born of God, he doth not commit sin. For he that sinneth is of the devil. But he that is born of God, he doth not commit sin. For it is said, he cannot sin because he is born of God. The seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." So it's very obvious that we can tell that we are free from sin. Being therefore free from sin, we should never let it reign in our body, not for one moment. Being free from sin, we should spend our lives in gratitude and praise, knowing that being free from sin, that also makes us free from death. Therefore, having no more fear of death, then we're free from sin. For the Bible said all of our lives were subject to bondage because of fear of death. But when you're born again, you have no more fear of death. Remember, there is a sleep that the world refers to as death. When your spirit departs the body, it goeth back to God who gave it. But then that really isn't death, that is a sleep. But one who dies is one that goes into the lake of fire, and it is called the second death. That is what death is all about. Death is when your spirit departs from God's spirit. The world, when those people die, their spirit departs from God's spirit, and they go into the lake of fire, or they go into hell until hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And those that love the Lord, they do not do that. Their spirit departs from their body. Their little body lays down to sleep, and they go away into paradise and will return at the appointed time to pick up this wonderful body that will have immortality, that will be eternal. And the ones that continue on in the great message of the Revelation, going on with God, reaching the ultimatum of what he has in this message, they will never go by the way of the coffin, but they will be translated and changed just as Enoch was. Enoch having been translated by faith that he should not see death, being the seventh from Adam, being symbolic of the church, then these that are walking after Christ shall be translated that they should not see death. And the Bible said, console the brethren with these words. So then, we who are alive and remain shall at his coming be caught up with him after a change in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. If the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will then be the receiving of the Jews but the change, or what we call life from the dead? So then, when we think over these things, we think of how beautiful it is, the plan of salvation and what God has done for his people. Today, knowing that we are free from the curse, it means that we are free from all of the evils of Satan. And though he comes against us, though he constantly comes against us, yet there is a continual deliverance. For many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. And I am the God of heaven that forgiveth all of thine iniquities, and I heal all of your diseases. And so then God is ever with us. He's ever a present help in the time of need. Now then, everybody has needs at one time or another. And knowing that he is a present help in the time of need, then the Bible says that we should come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need, that we might receive help. The boldness there is not a haughtiness nor an arrogancy. It is not a demanding from God, but it is in humility with boldness of faith, believing that what God has said he's able also to perform. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And so then when we go before God, we go in the confidence of His righteousness, to be strong in the power of His might. And we go in the faith of Christ Jesus. And that is our boldness, is to believe that He hath justified us by His faith, and that we are sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God has forever delivered us from sin and moved the curse and give us the desires of our heart, having given us the Spirit of Christ, which is the power over all the powers of the in that Christ conquered Satan while He tabernacled in the body of Jesus, then that means His Spirit has power over all the powers of the enemy. And you have the Spirit, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then we see that God has done a great, marvelous thing for us, having given us not only eternal life, but having given us immortality, that we might have this wonderful immortality. Tonight, it's a pleasure to be able to talk with you and to to understand that we are walking with the Lord, and the Lord is walking with us, and that He hath given us of His Spirit. It is so wonderful to know that He loves us, that He cares for us, and that He wants us to walk in His way. You know, tonight I didn't intend to keep you very long. I just had a few little things I wanted to say to you and give you a chance tonight, you know, to get out early. But I wish you would think on these few little things that we're saying tonight, that it is a wonderful thing to know that Christ is the Spirit of the Word, and that we can have His Spirit. And of course, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of the Word, then you are none of His. But if you have the Spirit of the Word, then you belong to God. And the faith of Christ in the Word is what you need. You know, I was telling somebody today, we prayed for somebody, and I was trying to encourage their faith. And I tried to point out to them today that God's will is faith, and that what God wants is for us to believe, and that it's according to your faith, so be it unto you. I said it's not according to ritualistics, religious ritualistics, and formalities of the world. It's not according to the things that you look and see and hear about as to the religious activities everywhere, different denominations, different churches, and different religions. That's not what it's about. It's not about the religious formalities at all. It is according to your faith. Christ has one thing, and that is faith in His Word. And if you have faith in His Word, then that completely takes care of it. Faith in His Word is what takes care of the situation. And when you believe as to faith in the Word, then you automatically have the blessings of God. When you believe in faith in the Word, you automatically find salvation. And when you have faith in the Word, you automatically find sanctification, because it's strictly by faith in the Word, according to your faith. So be it unto you. The Lord has wrought the miracle at Calvary. He's done all of the works in your behalf. And because He hath done this, then He hath completely set you free from those things. And you today have this wonderful salvation, and your spirit is sealed unto the day of the redemption of the body. So we're looking forward to the change. May the Lord bless you, and we'll see you the next time.